because where it becomes a problem is when we start ignoring the truth, whatever realities show up, because our beliefs are so strongly held right in the story. So I stop hearing the indicators in the system that something's wrong.
Hi, and welcome to the Leadership Now series with Nick Vujicic and Christine Grimm, Aria Consulting, 23 years of executive coaching, and I'm humbled that she is my coach. I could not lead without the sound coaching from Christine. I'm so glad, Chris, that we get to coach everyone watching. Tell us what we're going to be experiencing here on this series.
Yeah, we're going to coach you around leadership, around real challenges, how to navigate the challenges that you have right now, and how to feel good about it.
I'm so excited, Chris. You're going to be sharing with us also your pool of CEOs that can bring in and chime in some principles from their experience as well. Thank you for joining us here on the Leadership Now series. Here's today's episode.
Hi, everyone, and thank you for joining us here. Nick and Chris, greetings from us to you, wherever you're watching or listening around the world. Welcome back to the Leadership Now series. As we unpackage some leadership principles and values for you, for your company, whether you're a CEO or not, there are so many principles that we unpackage every Wednesday. I'm so excited. We're doing a one-on-one here, and we have been discussing about what we were going to title this one, actually. Let me explain it to you first. We're going to, first of all, help you to get clear and free from delusion. Chris, how you doing?
I'm doing great. Wow, that's a big topic. This is a deep dive for all deep dives.
I love it. I love it. Let me read the rest of the sentence. How to get clear and free from delusion and self-deception so that you're running your business and team transparently, authentically, building trust and credibility and freedom for people to get things done. That's today. The title of it, I think we're gonna say snap out of it. Can we call it snap out of it? I like
that's
that.
Great, that's awesome. Great. I was thinking of calling this don't believe everything you think, but I like snap out of it. That's nice.
Well, I love that as a sub, so let's do them both. Chris, I'm so excited because you've helped me as you've been coaching me and our team. It's so easy without even noticing how much we sing to a song that's in our head and we've realized how silly of a song it is.
Not everybody does that. This was born a few episodes ago when I think I said, think about what you're thinking and don't believe everything that you think. For some people, that is a new idea. So as of today, everybody, not a new idea, something that you should do all the time. So let me frame this up because we've been having a lot of conversations around it. Delusion is a thing, and delusion means that you believe the story so much. I'm just going to paraphrase and make it easy for people. It means that you're operating with a story that might be flawed. It might have inaccurate data or old data or maybe information about people or things around you. And it's not based in reality. It's based on the story that you have, but you're living as if it's real. And a lot of people do that. And oftentimes with positive intention, like the intention isn't to do that most of the time, not for normal people who aren't sick mentally. So let's assume that we have a lot of normal, healthy people here. But in these times where we're being tested and stressed out, right? We have all this media coming at us, giving us data and stories, and then people who tell us their version of it. It's becoming common sometimes when I'm listening to people that I'm trying to sort out what's real. And then I'm listening to the story they're telling themselves. And oftentimes I'm stopping people because you know me. That's what I do. and saying,
you
wait,
stop. You always stop people. I love her. Wait, everybody, time out.
Yeah, wait, stop. Like, wait, stop. Explain that to me more. Or wait, do you really think that? You know, so I thought we could talk a little bit about, you know, why this happens, if you want to start there. I don't know. You know, why we do this in business in particular.
You know, first of all, I don't think, I mean, let's just say it this way. Typically, I would say that no one gets to this point with ill intention. I don't think anybody gets to a point where they realize that, oh my gosh, I'm on this merry-go-round that actually doesn't exist, that's taking me away from what I actually should be thinking, should be saying, and should be believing. And then when you know it's too late, I don't think it's out of ill intention. I think it could be even out of positive, good intentions at times where we start lying to ourselves, whether that's an ego thing where that's unhealthy, but where you want to make people happy, right? Out of that positive intention, you sometimes even make up stories to yourself so then you can tell the people what you felt was real. What's interesting, actually, is you can tell the story so long that you actually believe that this is absolutely true, and how quickly we can fall into that. It's scary how quickly all of us can get there. And whether it's not just the CEOs, it's the heads of departments, it's employees.
Of course.
I don't know, like, I feel like there's a lot of humility here that needs to be talked about, and have that transparency with yourself and actually be okay that there's a chance that you're lying to yourself. And exploring that has to take a step of humility. And I think that's the first thing that we must understand. Where did this start? How did we get here so that we never get here again? Or what are the triggers, right? That we see ourselves going back to that old mentality of saying, I want to be able to catch myself before we get so deep into these lies and these merry-go-rounds. How does someone do that? How does someone recognize that? How does someone identify these triggers that birth it?
Mm-hmm. Wow, you just said a lot of things that are important. So first of all, why does this happen? So you are right. Most people have very positive intentions, specifically when they're starting a business or starting a new job, right? We want to be successful. And in pursuit of that success, specifically my leaders, right? Or people who want to be leaders, managers, supervisors, whatever role you're in, that's our intention. And so we create a story. So whether you know this or not, we adopt, if you will, the character version of ourselves that can be successful in this story. And I call that your hero story, right? So as we start to think about, oh, I'm going to be the CMO of this company, or I'm the new CEO, or I just got hired to be the new COO. In our head, we think we believe what other people's expectations are of us. And oftentimes we do in the beginning, right? Someone's been very explicit. Usually we just hired you, or you've just done something and you as a leader are casting a vision. And so in that vision or in this new job, I say, okay, well, this is what it's going to look and feel like when we're successful. And of course, you have a personal style, you have all the context of the business you're in, etc. But that's what I call the rationalized hero story, right? So you have it in here. And oftentimes, we then start to create expectations, sometimes overt, right? We talk about them out loud. We share them with people. Mm-hmm. Sometimes they're just in our head. He should be doing this. If we're successful, that person should do this. They will be doing this, right? So whether we tell other people or not, by the way, we do this. It's what I call creating the characters in the story. And so one of the things to look at if you're monitoring your thinking is to start to understand that. Like, what kind of character am I building in my head about myself? What do I look like as the hero when things are working and successful?
Right.
And so how are the other characters interacting with me in my story, the movie in my head, if you will, and then notice about yourself how we cast the other characters, right? All those shoulds we have, we're usually creating that story based on what's going to help us be the hero. So everybody right. digest that for a moment, because some people are going to say, no, I don't do that. And I'm like, you probably do, even if it's just a little bit, because that's naturally how we're doing it. Your intention's not bad. You're just envisioning, here's what success is going to look like. Here's what my team is going to sound like. Here's what we're going to feel like. And sometimes we get granular, right? We say, they should be giving me a report by this day of the month. And like I said, if it's overt, we agree with people. And we ask them to do that and they agree and hopefully they execute. But if it's in our head, and I know lots of leaders who sometimes think they've told people or they believe people are going to read their mind, another piece of our story that sometimes doesn't work.
What? Really?
Right? This whole overt versus covert thinking is interesting. Look, let me say one more thing and then I want you to react to this because I believe, like I said, this is the intention to be successful. So what I often see in my leaders, some of which we've had on our podcast, by the way, and others we will be having on our podcast, because I know all of you well from lots of years of coaching, what I try to teach you all to see, if you think about your thinking, is that you also create in this hero story some assumptions about you as the hero. I'm the boss. The buck stops with me. The board's going to hold me accountable, which is probably true. But then what you create along with that then is like, oh, if the buck stops with me, I better control all the decisions about these things. Yep. And then you know what happens then, right? So then if things go bad, for instance, part of our story is, uh-oh, I can't trust anybody else. I can only right. trust me because the buck stops here. And for us to be successful, because I know I can count on me. And it's my money or whatever goes in the story, right? It's part of, you know, what I call the self-deception. Because where it becomes a problem is when we start ignoring the truth, whatever realities show up in our environment that we're ignoring because our beliefs are so strongly held right in the story. So I stop hearing the indicators in the system that something's wrong. Right. I stop being able to hear feedback from people. When maybe they're trying to tell me that I'm going down a path that might not be successful, but in my head, I'm like, oh, no, if I don't do this, I know this is going to happen. And so I'm just going to go. And this is where I think it becomes, you know, a bit of a handicap that sometimes leaders don't unfortunately learn until it's too late. So to me, this is the importance of us talking about it.
It's so good. And if you're listening, I mean, just that whole two and a half minutes of that is so important for every leader to even just go back and listen to what Chris just said, because I know as one leader, when we're talking about the psychological reasons, conscious or subconscious, as to why we even let ourselves go there. It could be actually as well stemmed from a deep insecurity of your value, that you have a need to be validated. Mm-hmm. And you wanting that validation and affirmation that you've created your own world in how you think, you're actually giving self-affirming patterns that you feel like you need, but then it's compacted with lies. And when that all happens, it's all coming down from a stem of fear. Mm-hmm. Really, in my opinion, if there was a stem or a root of this, it depends on the situation, but fear is a driving factor of mindsets for leaders, whether they feel it or not. And I think it even could go back to a fear of failure. And that's why we need that extra affirmation. And that's why we need that extra this and extra that. So we know exactly what color and size our hero cape is. So then we always have in that moment holding up the trophy. Yes. Yes, we did it, you know, subconsciously, or I did it. I'm validating my position. I think that's interesting to bring up, that fear is the stem and could be this fear that gives this drive and hunger for self-affirmation appetite.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, you know, fear, as most people probably know this by now, there's a million podcasts out there that talk about fear. Most of them, you know, have some take on it, but it's the same, right? Like we as humans are self-protective animals. We were built to survive. So of course, because of that, our primal brain, for lack of a better term, there are other ways that we could talk about it. I won't bore you with the real names, but our primal brain or the reptilian brain, you know, its job is to do that, which is why we have a fight or flight or freeze response. And I think that, you know, specifically in relation to the last 4 months, where we've been talking a lot about the shock to the system when COVID started to shut us down, and then we went into full lockdown the first time and businesses were shut down, and all of a sudden, you know, everybody started to be faced with a new reality. For a lot of our clients, it also was shining a flashlight, very, very bright light, on maybe some of the things that they didn't want to face. And so I want to address this, Nick, because, you know, you used a word that's very strong and it triggers people, which is lying. And, you know, what I find is it's not always like a bold-faced, purposeful lie to yourself. You know, that does happen. You know, people do avoid the truth, right? They kind of go around it. They find ways to not look at that thing over here, right? I know it's true. I know that employee, maybe we grew out of them and I'm still keeping them because I'm loyal. I know this part of our business probably isn't going to be as successful as I thought. And like I'm saying, what's happened in the last few months is that this new reality kind of shook everyone. And so many businesses now are having to look at things that they really didn't want to look at before. And so they might not have been lying to themselves. Maybe they were, but most of them weren't doing that. They were just not dealing with things, not dealing with reality. So I just wanted to add that, because for anybody listening, if the word lie triggers you, you know, one, you should ask yourself why. but the other thing is that in context of you and your team, I would say, you know, really start to understand, you know, are we paying attention to the indicators in our business that are always giving us feedback, whether we have a mechanism to report that back to us or not? Right. So just because your customers and your clients or whatever aren't sending bad things to you on Twitter, it doesn't mean they aren't unsatisfied. Right. And I know that's an extreme example, but it's something that in this day and age seems to be a big deal. And so a lot of businesses are like, wow, my customers can give me feedback immediately. All of our customers give us feedback all the time. Right. So if we're listening and we have a way to kind of what I call ingest the data, right? Uh-huh. People on your team are listening and taking that data and then bringing it to you. Mm-hmm. You know, so we as a team, we're not going to ignore these things. Are we talking about the right things? Are we looking at the right data? Are we looking at it in the right timing? And by the way, just because we don't like what we're hearing, like, does that stop us from looking at that data? Because that's the other thing is, right, sometimes we don't just not look at it, we just procrastinate it. It's not what we like to talk about. So, you know, a part of maybe some new practices for everyone is taking the opportunity to actually want to get clear, to want to free yourself from whatever deceptions or delusions or procrastinations or whatever is happening that is keeping you from being real. you know, and then adjusting that.
Which takes courage, which is on the offense, not the defense, right?
That's important.
I think it's just from a personal, you know, experience, and many of them, you know, it's almost like, you know, you got to brush your teeth, and you know that if you don't brush your teeth, no one's going to want to talk to you. And so you do that. Well, maybe now during Zoom, you can't smell my breath, but it is so important to understand that, you know, you gotta swallow that pill sooner than later. Mm-hmm. Do that. I think procrastination, because you got to go through those emotions again, right? You're in denial. You're in denial that you've made up such a story, that you actually could be wrong. You're then, you know, a fearing what are the implications of that then therein. Mm-hmm. Not just the operational point of view, but also your fear of what people think of you. Mm-hmm. And then you think they're thinking something about you when they're not thinking about that at all. And so then you're acting as if everyone's thinking that way, which is just a self-detrimental path. Mm-hmm. And that in itself is something that you just need to, I think, have a one-on-one with you, yourself, and you. And say, look, I refuse to carry this. I think anyone's lying to themselves. Saying, you know, that they don't carry guilt. Guilt comes with you, but turn that guilt or that fear into something good. Mm-hmm. Bring it to the table, deal with it. Mm-hmm. Figure out, say what needs to be said, do what needs to be done, and then it's almost like, you know, oh, finally I did it. And man, I'm glad I did it. And then guess what everyone does once they've done it? I should have done that sooner.
Yes.
I should have addressed that sooner. I should have erased that story sooner. No one in the history of leadership in mankind ever looked back and said, oh, I'm glad it took me that long to actually figure that one out.
That is
so
true.
Hurry up. Get it done. Deal with it, baby. Deal with it.
Rip off the Band-Aid. You know, I love what you're saying. This courage thing is so important. I want to ground us in how hard that is. And I know that you continue to do it. And I've seen you have some courageous conversations. I've helped you do that. I've held you accountable to doing it. And I would say to everybody out there who's listening to this, you know, part of why it takes so much courage, if I come back to something I said a little bit ago, right, is part of the reason we create these stories as leaders is because we want to be successful. And specifically my leaders, Nick, you're one of them, and we've had some on our podcast that we've talked to, right? I've met a lot of leaders, and regardless of style, et cetera, but oftentimes my leaders, specifically who are founders, you know, you are highly independent. And you do own what you're doing in a very big way, sometimes self-funding the business. And even if you didn't self-fund, somewhere in there, you put yourself on the line and your finances and your family and your mortgage and, you know, whatever. And I think in a corporate environment where that might not be the case, my leaders are still putting themselves on the line. Oftentimes, their credibility, again, you know, their mortgage, you know, feeling like if I'm really courageous and I face the realities of this business, I'm going to put myself at risk. Mm-hmm. And I want to bring up something that some people get surprised about when I bring up to leaders, because it feels a little touchy-feely, but everybody I know, how do I say this? The truth of every situation is in your heart. Not just in your mind, it is in your heart. And we as humans have done an amazing job of distracting ourselves from listening to that heart voice, if you will, our intuition, specifically in business. I want to say that what I've learned about leadership over a long time is, you know, we need to make decisions with data. And I often say, yes, you do. And you have to listen to your gut. You have to listen to that voice in your heart, specifically around people decisions, right? You know what to do. The data and the other things around you, the opinions, et cetera, are all things to help you make the right decision in the right timing, to your point, et cetera. But most of the time, we know what we need to do. And oftentimes that's difficult because it might mean at some point in the process, follow with me here, if you're that, my story's around success and I have to be this way and I need to make the decisions and the buck stops with me, that might be in some point here where you have to admit that you don't know what you're doing. Mm. And that, you know, the business has outgrown my original vision even, or, you know, I didn't hire the best team. I hired a team I could control, or at the right, they seemed right at the time, but now the business is really big. And I'm now afraid that if I actually expose to everyone that my story isn't completely true anymore, first myself and then to others, then my credibility is going to go out the door. And then, so it's fear of a very different kind of failure, right? It's fear of exposure. And then the feeling like, well, wait a minute, does that mean the story I've been telling is wrong? So I'm an imposter?
Mm.
And you know, that is more than just one podcast, everybody, but it is, you know, you should know that about yourself. So Nick's advice of having a one-on-one with yourself is brilliant. Telling yourself the truth first, you know, really listening to yourself and what you know, and then of course validating that with data and the people who you trust around you. It's really, really good, Nick. I love
how you've, you know, put the verbiage in authentically building trust and credibility and freedom. I think that's one of the biggest things that every leader needs to cross that bridge and recross that again and again and again, because how can I say it? For me, there's a solution, which is what you've taught us as a team. It's complicated from a visionary leader point of view, let's say, because there are experiences and a track history of when two or three gathered in the team tell me that 100% this is what we're supposed to do. And so I want to let them run. I want to let them, you know, I want to trust them. I want to let them build their own credibility. I want them to have the freedom, and I want them to feel like we have trust. And I feel like for any leaders out there, I just want to share what you've taught me in always being able to have a conversation with whoever you need to have a conversation with. So then either in that conversation, you expose in the light what they know that you don't know, that now that you know, now you understand why, which is most of the time. But there are some of those times where it's not that way, where it could be within the team that self-deception has come in, maybe, or misunderstanding, or different perspectives, different style of approach on operations in their department based on not their values as much as what they've been used to operationally, which then means like we got to do a realignment. An alignment meeting is what you bring up almost like every 6 weeks. It's like, Nick, well, that's just an alignment thing. This is that, that's that. And so what I love about this, Chris, is you're bringing solutions for the leadership in any department and the teams where there might be discrepancies of a different perspective or a different approach. What is in that realm of freedom that they can do that might be a definitive fundamental thread of prior operations? This is the only way, and I love this podcast and this episode because this helps leaders to understand how do you straddle that?
Yeah.
And how do you walk that tight line with you and your team to make sure they have the freedom, that they feel like they've got the trust, but but they also understand that at any given time, we're going to say, hey, time out. Let's discuss this, guys. I love that. I love that there's a solution.
Well, I mean, yeah, look, you just said it. Alignment is a solution. It oftentimes, when you're talking about you and your team, is kind of the critical first step, right? Get aligned. And that's not easy. And it has to be constant, by the way, right? Alignment doesn't happen one time and then it's done. Life is not going to allow that to happen. Yeah, life's going to keep happening and all the dynamics are going to push on your business or your group. And so you're going to have to constantly realign, which is why, like what Nick's talking about, is all I've done is given his team, you know, tools and structure, if you will, so that they can constantly realign.
Yep.
And I think to your point, Nick, that once a leader decides, you know, I'm going to run this business based on reality, not the illusions or delusions in our brains or what we're telling each other, but let's get super real. You know, where are we? Where do we really want to be? Let's face the yuckiness if in fact we're not doing what we need to do, what we said would do, et cetera. And then, you know, make sure that you have on your team, this is important, Nick, right, is a culture of truth telling. Most organizations, by the way, that is really hard, what I just said. Super duper hard. There's whole books about it and, you know, generations of leadership development and lots of consultants. And many of you know, I'm not saying something that you do in a day. Alignment and truth telling in business is difficult because everyone's trying to be successful and those agendas often are at odds with each other. The bigger the organization you're in, right, the more that's probably true, because the minute you have different departments, if you don't actually plan for their agendas and their goals to be in competition with each other and actually plan in that in a purposeful way, that's going to happen. And then they're going to fight over resources, right? They're going to naturally then not always tell the truth. In meetings, for instance, right? I don't want to admit that my team might not meet our number because then my resources might get taken away. And I know that team over there, where they're killing it and they're growing really fast and they need those resources, right? So there's a whole bunch of, like I said, the intentions aren't bad, horrible intentions. But the reality is we're in systems that don't always help us admit mistakes, talk about failures, give each other feedback, right? If it was that easy, I wouldn't have a job. So, but it's real.
Yeah. And I'm sure you've seen it case after case of leaders in massive companies ignoring the feedback from their team, ignoring the feedback from the system. Mm-hmm. Talk about that. And what is the commonality or common denominator in when a leader of a large company realizes, oh my gosh, like, is there any common denominators of the waking up moments of that?
Well, sure. What's common is it feels bad if you wait too long. You know, if you're not monitoring in an organized way data from your look, I call this, I'm going to use big words here, but everybody gets it, right? Every business has what we call stakeholders. I think I've said this before, right? People who have a stake in your success. So Nick, for instance, has himself and his team, the team's employees, if in fact they run a department. Then they have their donors. He has his fan base or his customers. They work with churches. He works with prisons. He has all the different ministries and groups that he works with. And of course he has a board. So all of those are stakeholder groups, and each stakeholder group, dependent on their relationship with your business, well, they care about different things. And so those indicators that I'm talking about is if we're not listening to our stakeholders and hearing what they're saying to us on a regular basis, then chances are we're going to miss the cues.
Yep.
Some of those indicators are obvious, right? The flow of money, by the way, to and from our customers, or from our customers and then to us to pay our bills, for instance, those are tangible things. not all businesses do those well, unfortunately, but those are like super tangible material ways to measure your relationship with your stakeholders. But if you wait until your customer leaves you and doesn't pay you anymore, that's too late, just in case you didn't figure that out. That's what we call a lagging indicator you don't want. But I would say to your thing, Nick, without making this too complicated for people, all of your stakeholders, one or 100,000, it doesn't matter. They're with you for a reason. And so you have to know what that reason is. What's the relationship with the stakeholder? What do they need from you? What are you giving them? How are they receiving it, right? What's the give and take look like? And how are we monitoring that relationship? And in the monitoring of that relationship, your team should have data that if you are paying attention to, there will be indicators. There's some easy ones. Are they happy or are they not happy, right? That's an easy one. And then you get into more complicated things if you sell product and services that we could talk about. But the bottom line is that pay attention to what your stakeholders are telling you all the time. And then you won't be caught off guard by bad feedback, right? Or they leave. If you are waiting until your employees quit or your customers quit, right? Or your donors stop giving or whatever. I could say this about anybody's business right now that we're in. If you're waiting until they're gone, it's a problem. You have a problem in your story. You have a problem on your team because we're not getting in front of it. That means we're not listening soon enough, proactively enough in our stakeholder relationships.
Or talking as well. You know, it's really interesting. We've done a pretty good job at the culture of making sure that everyone on the team, you know, talks to each other. And it's been said again and again and again, if you have any concerns, if you have any things that you want to say, you know, I tell them, you know, if you would like to talk to the COO, open door revolving all the time. You want to talk to me, open door. I mean, we're a very small team compared to all the other companies and organizations out there. We're a lean, mighty team. But I just want to remind people or tell them for the very first time, who is the CEO? Who is the COO? Just because you told everyone that come to me anytime you want and tell me anything of concern, that just doesn't mean that they're going to do it. It's almost like I feel like in the years of me being a CEO, 15 years, it's almost like you have to remind everyone that fact, like every 7 to 10 weeks for some reason. You know, like you set the culture, but this topic is so sensitive, so hard. What you've unpackaged in 35 minutes, you could talk about this for 6 hours. And in that, and I know we're going to wrap it up here, but in this, I just want to encourage CEOs, COOs, don't just set, you know, it's not like building a fence on a property. You put it up and it's pretty much not moving. It's almost like every 8 weeks, hey, guys, there are no fences. Remember, you know, we're one team and, you know. So I just want to encourage the CEOs on that because you've done an incredible job at making sure that our leadership does do that and does make everyone feel that they can do that. So Chris, this is awesome. I love it.
Can I say one last thing before we close up?
Yeah.
It's about what you just said. And there are apps, of course, now because we have an app for everything. There are some fantastic apps. I don't even know the names of all of them. There are so many. That are created for you to get anonymous feedback from your employees. There are things called pulse checks. There are survey tools. There are engagement surveys. There are culture surveys. Like I said, now we have apps. They're not that expensive. Small businesses can use it. They're not just for big companies anymore. So I would say if you are a leader, regardless of title, and you want to provide a feedback loop for your employees, your customers, et cetera, I would seek out one of those easy to use applications. and start doing that. And because one of the things Nick just said, and I know for another day we'll have to talk about this, you know, please make sure that you're not lying to yourself in thinking that just because you establish a policy that everyone's going to do that, because there's a whole bunch of reasons why they might not. So I know that we are getting to the end and we've given people a lot.
Yeah.
So hopefully they'll listen to this at least once and really start to spend that one-on-one time with themselves first to dissect their own story.
Awesome. Tell people where to go for some resources at ARIA.
Sure. So the link will be below. We've got ariacx.com for consulting. We've got ariacoach.com for coaching. We've got avi.me if women are looking for more in-depth programs and retreats. And if we don't have what you're looking for, we will be happy to help you find what you need. Like I said, there's a million of those apps out there. It feels like a million. So if you have a question about that, email me or email Nick or leave us a comment and we'll help you.
Awesome. Regina coming up next week. Can't wait. Tell us about Regina and tell people why they need to listen to our interview coming up with her.
Sure. We're going to be meeting with Regina Ellis. She is an amazing founder leader of a nonprofit called the Children's Cancer Association. I thought it would be great for everyone to have some time with me and with Nick and Regina to really give some of you a bit of a boot camp, if you will, about what it takes to start something that is driven by a passion or maybe adversity or maybe the combination of those things, and then make an impact on the world in a big way. So it's going to be great.
Awesome. Chris, love you so much. Thank you for today. Everyone, thank you for watching. We love you. Have a great, great evening or morning, wherever you're at. Thanks for joining us here at the Leadership Now series with Chris and Nick, and we'll see you next week.
Hey guys, thank you so much for listening. Help us reach as many people as possible by giving us a rating, a review, and subscribing to this podcast. Love you so much. And remember, share this with anyone you know who needs to hear this as well. I'll see you next week.